119th Psalm, verse 145 through 152. If you'll remember, there are 22 sections now in this psalm of 8 verses each. Each section began with a letter of the Hebrew alphabet, and we are looking through this psalm, by and large, keep in mind again that this is a treatise on the Word of God. And if you want to find out something about the Bible, the preciousness of it, the purity of it, the enduring of it, you look into this psalm and you'll find it. Tonight in these verses, I want to look at these verses in light of the Word of God with regard to the birth and the growth of the Christian. I think we'll see some things here that will help us along this pilgrim's way if we look at these verses and let them speak to our hearts tonight. Let's read these 8 verses. We'll come back then and deal with them in just the manner that we always do on Wednesday night. Might be encouraged to trust the Lord and pray. Said, I cried with my whole heart, hear me, O Lord, I will keep thy statutes. I cried unto thee, save me, and I shall keep thy testimonies. I prevented the dawning of the morning and cried, I hoped in thy word. Mine eyes prevented the night watches, that I might meditate in thy word. Hear my voice according unto thy loving kindness, O Lord, quicken me according to thy judgment. They draw nigh that follow after mischief, they are far from thy law. Thou art near, O Lord, and all thy commandments are truth. Concerning thy testimonies I have known of old, that thou hast founded them forever. And now certainly we understand that the psalmist is speaking from the light, in the light of, and from the point of a measure of persecution that's gone on in his life. But I want to look at it as we look at these verses, and let's speak to our hearts and just review our testimony before the Lord, really, as we look into these verses. First of all, in verse 145, we see the sinner as he repents and cries in regard to the Word of God. He said, I cried with my whole heart. Is that not the repentant heart that longs for God and cries out for the Lord? And he said, hear me, O Lord, I will keep thy statutes. Does that not speak to our hearts well of the time that we were brought to the place of repentance? We understood our relationship to God was naught, and we were condemned because we had lived as unbelievers. And then, thank God, he had opened our hearts. We had come to that place of truth. We had repented, and we began to cry out. Now, this is what it really meant when it says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. It's from a cry from a repentant heart, one that's been broken by the very Word of God and the Spirit of God, as the Word of God is taken. And he then said, I'll keep thy statutes, commitment. And then the saint, as he's saved and committed, in verse 146, I cried unto thee, save me, I shall keep thy testimonies. Again, the place of the Word of God in our lives that first of all tells us of Jesus Christ and his saving grace. We did not know that apart from the Word of God. There is an element of the Godhead that we can know just from creation. The heathen are without excuse, because God can be known in this sense that he's very powerful. As you witness the creation itself, understand as it is described for us, the sun that is as a strong man who runs his race through the sky. We have to understand that God's greater than the sum total of the creation. Therefore, he is extremely powerful and mighty. And there's not a place, not a language on this earth where that does not speak to men that there is a mighty God. But only from the pages of this precious book do we understand that God loved us enough to give his son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to die for us. And therefore, the saint now is saved and assured. He said, I shall keep thy testimonies, assured of the truth of the Word of God, and believes it with his heart. And then we'll notice the word then takes a place in the life of the believer. In verse 147, he said, I prevented the dawning of the morning. Now that does not mean the psalmist stopped the sun coming up. This word prevent is somewhat archaic in its use, but it's still very significant and deep in its meaning. And really what he's saying is, I got up before the morning that I might look into the Word of God. An old Chinese fellow one time had the difficulty, like a lot of us do, disciplining himself to get up and read the Word of God. And finally, he made this commitment to himself. If he didn't get up and read the Word of God, he wouldn't have any breakfast. That caused most of us to get up, would it not? Just the idea wouldn't have breakfast. But he said, no Bible, no breakfast. Well, here the psalmist is saying basically the same thing. He said, I prevented the dawning of the morning. I got up before daylight. I cried. He prayed. He said, I hoped in thy word. In other words, he gave himself to a personal time of devotion to the Lord. Is that not the Christian experience as it ought to be in our lives, that we find that time in our lives in the day somewhere? I don't know that it has to be before daylight, but that is a good quiet time to get up and to give yourself to the Lord. I wouldn't fault you for that by any stretch of the imagination. And that's what he's saying in this psalm. That was his practice. He sought the Lord early and he looked into the Word of God. And then there can be no better way for the believer than closing the day with the meditation of the Word of God. In verse 148, he said, mine eyes prevent the night watches, or before the night watches, before I go to sleep, that I might meditate in thy word. In other words, he finds that time of appointment and dedication to look into the Word of God. And let me say that it would likely be far better for all of us if we would find that time to look into the Word of God before we go to sleep and have that on our minds, rather than have a lot of other things that come from other sources in this world into our lives, and that to fill our minds in the late evening hours. And so this was then the growth in this man. He's moved now from the one who's called to repentance and faith in verse 145, saved and committed 146. He sought the word early and he looked into it late at night so that it'd be the meditation of his mind in the dark hours of the night. He speaks of the Lord and asks him to deal in mercy in his life, and yet to remain just. In 149, said, hear my voice according to thy loving kindness. O Lord, quicken me according to thy judgment. What he's saying is, Lord, deal with me in your mercy, but as you deal with me in mercy, make me alive in justice, or save me with a just salvation. I've dealt with this before, but I want to emphasize it again tonight, just so that we'll be reminded of it in our thinking tonight, that God is very just in all of his dealings. He's holy in his being and does not ever equivocate from that particular standard that he himself is. Yet, when it came to the sinner, he has a man that is absolutely incapable, as the Word of God teaches, to do anything good. All of sin and come short of the glory of God. All our righteousnesses are filthy rags in the sight of God. Here's the dilemma. God has an absolutely holy, righteous standard. And for him to remain just, then he will have to meet the punishment of that broken law. What does he do to save a sinner? He gives his son. And every actual blow that was due us, every penalty of the consequence of sin was laid upon him. And every stripe that he received was ours. And therefore the punishment was meted out, the price was paid, justice was met, and the sinner that is forgiven stands uncondemned, justified in the sight of God. That's precious, and it'll help you along the pilgrim's way the sooner you find that in your heart and mind, that you're forgiven because of the work that Jesus Christ did on the cross, and yet God did not sacrifice his justice in doing so. Now, a lot of the churches today teach that God is a great loving God and he just overlooks sin. You see, God would become unjust if he compromised his integrity. What kind of a God is that? He said, deal with me in loving kindness, but then save me according to your judgment, or deal with me so that there's not ever any question about your integrity, God, and the very truth of my salvation. And you and I tonight, if we were saved any other way than through the just dealings of God with His Son on the cross, we'd stand in jeopardy. But because Jesus Christ paid it all, one of these days we'll sing it again. A song that says, "My sins not in part, but the whole were laid on Him." And He paid the price in full. So here He is. This is growth in the Christian experience, is it not? When we get to the place that we understand that God has dealt with us in loving kindness, but He also made us alive or saved us in justice. And then He speaks to the persecutors that are standing around now. He said, they draw nigh that fall after mischief. They are far from thy law. In other words, the outside world does not have any concept of the law of God and the perfection of God, the preciousness of God, the loving kindness of God, nor the justice of God. But you and I know it tonight. And so these outside persecutors, they may rail for a moment, but they stand in jeopardy of their souls every moment. Then he is convinced of God's presence and preservation in verse 151. Thou art near, O Lord, and all thy commandments are truth. The presence of the Lord, He's near at hand, and His perseverance, His commandments are true. God will preserve us because He has promised that He would. And then ultimately we see in verse 152 that he finally is convinced of this, that God's Word is founded, it's sure forever, never to change. Ultimately convinced of God's everlasting Word. Concerning thy testimonies, I have known of old that thou hast founded them forever. Now as we grow in our Christian experience, we're concluding in our hearts and our minds, this is God's Word, it's eternal. The same Word we heard the preacher preach in it to us that night, that day, or the personal Word came by and he opened the Word of God to us, it'll be the same Word in the ceaseless ages of eternity to come. Jesus said, heaven and earth will pass away, but my Word will not pass away. The psalmist said again, thou hast founded them forever. The Word of God, in light of the Christian experience, the birth and growth of the Christian, see, it relates to the Word of God, and as we become more convinced of this Word, the more sure we are as we stand, and the more bold we become, not in a presumptuous fashion, but because we know that God is for us, and if God be for us, who can be against us? None can. Well, I hope you've been encouraged enough to pray tonight. God is a glorious God, and a great God tonight. A God who loves, but yet remains just. Well.